Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM, broadcasting live from Bellevue, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries. Starting today, I'll be having Simon Parks from the United Kingdom on my show on a regular basis. He's due to come on within our first hour broadcast. We've had some trouble reaching him this morning. I hope he calls in. Simon, if you're there, please reach the studio. If not, then I have some backup guests I'll have as well. But Simon will be coming on the Out of This World program on the first and third Fridays of each month for 1 and possibly 2 hours, depending upon the schedule. He's a really amazing guy and one of the world's most famous UFO contactee people. Joining us briefly also at the beginning of this first hour will be Tom Palladino, a famous scalar energy healing. And I'll be actually giving out information about his scalar energy program tomorrow at a wonderful fair called the Northwest Mind, Body, Spirit Fair, which will be at the Bellevue Hilton here in downtown Bellevue. So if you are in the area, please stop by. It's free, and I'll be there from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support for this radio program because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I have a new television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts 3 times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Seattle area. The TV show is also available on YouTube under either my name, Ted Marr, or Out of This World. There are now almost 60 episodes available, all for free, on YouTube to watch. And also, too, I would like to thank everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a much better place. With that, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Spirit Center in Tacoma, and Tom Palladino, a famous scalar energy healer who will be coming on in just a few minutes. I know Tom will talk about this, but Tom has a special 15-day free trial of his scalar energy healing program going on right now. And if you'd like to enroll in his fantastic free program, please go to his website at www.selfhealgo.com. That's SelfHealGo.com. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who I know are listening today, and they've also been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. Also, I'd like to mention that Carol lost her father here a few months ago, and I'd like to ask everyone listening today to please send lots of love and light to her, Marge, her mom, and her family to help them with the loss of their beautiful father. Also, Michiko Hayashi's mother, Misako, had a stroke earlier last year, and I'd like to ask you also to please send lots of love and light to her as well. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. Also, if you missed my Galactic Conference in March earlier this year, you can order the audios and some videos of the conference for just $97. If you're interested, please send me an email or just call me. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held at the same location at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington, from April 12th to the 16th on 2019. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And briefly, this summer, coming summer, from July 2nd to the 8th, 2018, and also from September 6th to the 11th, 2018, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta and the Hollow Earth since 2016, and this is a wonderful opportunity for people to visit Telos and the Hollow Earth. You have to follow certain spiritual protocols to gain entry. And if you're interested, please send me an email or give me a call. My email again is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. On every trip since 2016, we've seen lots of Sasquatch and UFOs always flying around the mountain. It's a really amazing and beautiful place. And back last year in September of 2017, there was a lady named Tammy from Minnesota who came there. She'd been crippled for decades and couldn't walk very well except with crutches. And during the night when she was camped out at Mount Shasta with their group, she said she was contacted by the Sasquatch, and the Sasquatch asked her if she would like to be healed. She said, yes, of course. So the Sasquatch, who were in touch with their friends from the Hollow Earth, a space came. The people in the Hollow Earth came in a spacecraft, she said, sent a beam of light to the top of her van where she was sleeping, then took her aboard their craft. They healed her legs and then put her back in the van. And the next morning, she was running around all over our campsite, and people were wondering what was going on. And she was exclaiming, "I'm healed! I'm healed!" And when we calmed her down, she said this is the first time that she'd been able to walk in decades. I can't guarantee something like that will happen to everyone that goes there, but it's an amazing place, and I hope you can come. Simon Parks will be coming on, as I mentioned, on a regular basis to my radio and television shows. For May, he'll be coming on Out of This World Radio on Friday, May 4th from 2 to 3 p.m., also on May 18th from 10 to 11 p.m. Pacific Seattle time. In June, he'll be coming on my show on June 1st as well as on June 15th. And in July, he'll be coming on July 6th and July 20th, and every month thereafter. He's a world-famous extraterrestrial contactee. But before we talk to Simon, I'd like to bring in my good friend Tom Palladino. Tom is a famous scalar energy healer who really helps people with his scalar energy healing work. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, I'll be at the Northwest Mind-Body-Spirit Connection Fair tomorrow. On Saturday at the Bellevue Hilton with my friend Martha Childress, and we'll be distributing flyers and information on Tom's wonderful scalar energy healing program. I'll also be doing readings there. And with that, I'd like to bring on my friend Tom to talk about his scalar energy program. Tom, are you there?
I am. Hi, Ted. It's a pleasure to be here once again. Thank you.
Wonderful to hear you, Tom. Tom, do you have us on speaker? You're sounding a little muffled. I'm sorry.
How's that? Is that any better?
I'll ask Eric. Eric, is that okay? It's okay. It's okay for now. I just want people to be able to hear you, Tom. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, Tom, for people who are new to scalar energy, what is exactly scalar energy from your research?
Sure, I'm working with another dimension. Scalar energy is not of the electromagnetic dimension. And I'm essentially walking in the footsteps of Nikola Tesla. Many of you are familiar with Nikola Tesla and the splendid work and the research that this pinnacle in science has achieved. Well, in many ways, again, I'm trying to follow in the footsteps of Tesla. I'm working with Tesla energy or scalar energy. And in so doing, I have developed techniques, protocols in which I can improve human health. And we'll explore that in the next few minutes.
Well, you know, that's amazing. And also, too, you have a free program, don't you, for people who want to try your system?
Yes, exactly. I offer 15 days of free scalar energy treatment to anybody in the world. I have a website. You might want to take a pen and a piece of paper. Please write down this website. Now, when I work with people, I do so remotely with scalar energy. And all you have to do is submit a photograph. That is, submit a photograph of some part of your anatomy, some part of your skin, and I will treat you for free with scalar energy. Now, the website is freescalar.net. That's S-C-A-L-A-R. Freescalar.net. Now, anybody in the world can visit that website, submit as many as 25 photographs of your family and friends, and over the course of 15 days, we will eradicate germs from your body, we will balance your chakras, and we can assemble, we can actually create nutrients such as vitamins and antioxidants in your body. It's a simple process. You don't have to change your lifestyle. It's easy. It's painless. All we need is your photograph, some photograph of your skin, and you can sign up for those 15 days of pre-treatment. There is no obligation.
Wow, that's amazing. And you don't charge a $250 office visit consultation fee?
No. There's no... Well, that's the beauty of energy medicine. This is the new way of treating people. This is the new way of eradicating a pathogenic disease. We can do that remotely by way of scalar energy. Again, scalar energy is not electricity. It's a different dimension. And the potential behind scalar energy is just incredible.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, do you also treat pets as well?
Yes, I do. So when you visit the website, freescalar.net, I'm going to encourage you not only to send in photographs of your family and friends, but feel free to send in photographs of your pets. And actually, share the website with other people. What I have in mind with Ted is we want to form a global healing ministry. And this platform, this radio platform, is, if you will, our launching pad. We want to fill the world with pathogenic infection. So please go to the website, freescalar.net.
Tom, you're sounding really muffled. Is there any way you can improve sound quality from your end?
How's that, Ted? Is that quality any better?
A little bit better, yeah. I just want to make sure people hear you and you're just not, muffling. It's too muffled, we can't understand you. But that's great. You know, that's wonderful that you treat pets as well. Wow, that's amazing.
We're having great success with people. We're able to destroy fungi, and in so doing, we can remedy fungal infections such as thrush or candida. We've had great success in destroying bacteria, curing people with tuberculosis, cholera. A few days ago, somebody submitted to me a diagnostic test that proved that we're destroying the herpes virus. So all pathogenic illnesses, we now have the ability to eradicate the scalar energy.
Wow, that's amazing. That is just amazing. Have you, and you've had success with this, is that right?
Excellent success, Ted. Excellent success. And again, I believe this is the beginning of a global healing ministry in which we can treat people remotely by way of a photograph. Imagine, we can treat millions of people by way of their photograph. They don't have to visit a clinic or a hospital.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Wow, that's just amazing. Could you tell us just briefly a little bit about your success stories? I know you've been treating a lot of people in Africa.
Yeah, that's music to my ears. Ted and I have a pro bono ministry in Africa. We're reaching out to volunteers throughout Africa. And in so doing, we're able to treat people, again, by way of a photograph. And we've had just phenomenal success destroying the HIV virus, curing people of HIV infection. Working with people who have various, again, fungal or parasitic infections. Many people in Africa have malaria, and we have great success likewise in destroying the protozoa that causes malaria.
You know, let me interrupting there, Tom. You've been able to help people with AIDS. In other words,
that's correct.
That is amazing.
Go on record by saying we have developed a technique that can destroy the HIV virus.
Wow, that is just amazing. That is,
it is. It's such a godsend. Yeah. And, you know, I realize that this resonates with you and those of you in the listening audience. Please start working with us.
Wow.
Time is wasted. People are suffering. The website, again, is freescalar.net. Anybody can sign up. If you have a friend who's HIV positive, just send a photograph in. It will only take one treatment to eradicate the HIV virus. And look at the benefits for mankind here. Why not?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to tell all my listening audience around the world, I've met Tom. He's the real deal. And he genuinely wants to help heal the world. And I really want to applaud you for your efforts, Tom. You're a wonderful guy. And I'm so happy you're doing the work you're doing. I really am.
Thanks for your support, Ted. God bless.
My pleasure. My pleasure, my friend. Well, that was Tom Palladino. He's a wonderful fellow doing a lot of work to heal the world. And we have good news. Eric, I couldn't do this without you, my friend, but he just reached Simon by Skype. Simon, are you there?
Hello there. Simon here.
Oh, good. So good to talk to you, Simon. I was getting a little worried.
couldn't get on. There's some problem with the internet, but it's working now.
Oh, good, good. I think I sent you 20 emails from yesterday. I didn't hear from you. so I didn't know whether you were okay or not, but I'm glad you're alive. And I want to, just real quick before we start, I want to acknowledge I have two friends in my studio here, Mary and Elias from Costa Rica. They're wonderful friends of mine. And anyway, thank you so much for being here, Mary and Elias. I really appreciate you both being here. Well, there's so much to talk about, Simon. I wanted to say, everyone, that this is the first program. Simon will be coming on my show on a regular basis. Rain or shine, snowing or whatever, sunny or whatever the weather is. Simon's an amazing fellow. He's his parents work for the British Secret Service, often called MI5, and also his mom did joint work for the NSA in the United States. His grandfather was a British diplomat, also worked for the foreign arm of British intelligence called MI6. He went public with his story in 2010 and hasn't looked back. He's got an amazing background, and he really cares about humanity and the world and making this world a better place. And that's why I'm so happy you're on today, Simon, and will be coming on my show on a regular basis.
I'm really, really very happy to do so. I've always found that you've had such a really wonderful audience, Ted, people who, really care about the planet and care about humanity. And so it's a great privilege for me, actually, to have the chance to, talk to you, of course, and to Eric and to all the audience. Thank you for the intro. It's very funny. I was just tidying up my little desk the other day, and I found one of the little commemorative medals that I was given when I visited a radar base in Britain. Mm-hmm. I was invited to have a tour of a space radar base. And it's very funny because it's in Great Britain. Mm-hmm. And it's called RAF Fylingdales. But really, it's run by the Americans. And all the literature talks about how the British base is a joint operation between the Americans and the British. But after 3 hours of having the tour, I soon realized that the base is completely run by the Americans.
I'll be done.
It's really funny how the public are told one thing, but right. When you understand the private side of it, you get into the truth. The sure. truth is very different from what the public are told.
There was a friend of mine, named Dr. Stanley Monteith. He passed away in October of 2014. But at the beginning of his radio shows, on every show, Simon, he would say that what people see is different from what the truth and reality are. It's he said the same thing at the beginning of every show. It's very different. So then he would start his program. But
yes,
you would have liked him. He was a good person, and also, like you, wanted to make the world a much better place. Well, I have to ask you, Simon, there's so much going on nowadays. My goodness. There was the Syrian airstrike, and it was amazing in the U.S. media how mass media, I don't know what it was like in England, but here they reported it, and our mass media drummed it up like we were going to have a third world war, and then it just, poof, went away. And now I don't know what they're talking about now in mass media, probably sports. I'm not sure. Nothing against sports, but I'm just saying they don't report very much at all. So from your perspective, Simon, I'd love your take on the Syrian airstrike. Was it an alternative motive? What in reality was really going on there?
Right. I mean, you're right. In 1 minute it's Third World War, and the next minute it's who's at the Super Bowl. Right. Maybe the ancient Romans always used to have the saying, bread and circuses keep the masses entertained. Mm-hmm. But it's been very serious, and I did try to put some stuff out on my website. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Basically, what happened was that President Trump found himself painted into a corner because all of the governments from the other major countries were demanding action, and what they were saying was, if America didn't do it, then somebody else would have to do it. So President Trump, who didn't really want to get involved in anything, like the previous presidents, but found he had to do it. And the ambassador, the Russian ambassador, mm-hmm. To the United Nations, said to the UN that if any Russian military personnel were killed or injured in any of the missile strikes, Russia would consider itself at war with the United States of America. Oh. Now, that's an incredible statement to make. So what happened?
My goodness.
Yes, what happened was that President Trump and his top group then went and looked at all the targets that didn't have any Russian personnel. And then a phone call was made between President Trump and President Putin, and President Trump told Putin 24 hours ahead exactly which targets were going to be hit.
Oh, really?
Which gave, yes, which gave Putin 24 hours to get all of his military assets out of the target area. So when the missiles were fired, not a single Russian was killed or injured, which meant that there would be no war between Russia and America. So what we saw was the public reports, but the private situation is that the two presidents are talking. They're talking quite openly and sensibly. So a lot of what we saw was gamesmanship or brinksmanship being enacted out for the Western governments and the citizens of Russia, when the reality is behind the scenes, both presidents were making sure there was never going to be a Third World War. And that's the truth, and that's what happened, but that will never be reported to the public because the elite don't want the public to know that the two presidents are actually getting on reasonably well.
Well, that's wonderful news. You know, that certainly wasn't on our CNN here, although it could have been on the cartoon channel. I'm not sure where they put something like that. But the cartoon channel here in the United States actually has more viewers than CNN has right now.
I'm not surprised.
That's how many people believe in CNN. Not to criticize CNN, but that's amazing. Well, that's so nice to hear the truth. It's great to hear the truth. I think most people here in this country and elsewhere around the world want the truth. You know, Simon, they're tired of being told lies, and they're tired of not being told the truth. So it's nice to know that people are, that the two leaders are getting along reasonably well.
I think it's really, really important because if we go back to earlier times when the environment was very difficult, and this is the first time that two presidents have actually worked together to prevent escalation. In other situations, where one country has tried to push the other.
Right.
Nobody ever had an intention of a Third World War, never in history, but they always were angling for the best position. But what we have here is the two presidents actually saying, how do we satisfy our domestic market? And what they mean by that is the not the citizens of their own country, but the people who are you know, in the elite. How do we satisfy them, but ensure that there's not a cataclysmic war? So that I think is really comforting that they're able to do that. So I'm glad to be able to tell you that they say that that's not been covered on the news, but that's the reality, and that's why not one single Russian was killed, because they were given 24 hours notice, so they got all their assets out.
I have to tell you something funny, Simon. After last week, when I mentioned that you'd be coming on the show on a regular basis, and I posted did my post on Facebook, I got a couple of comments from people saying they really needed to hear you, and they missed you not being on the air. And one lady wrote, she was really funny. She said, "I need my Simon fix." And so I wrote her back, and I just told her to listen today, and you'll be back on the air. So I know there's a lot of people listening out there who are really enjoying this because they're getting their Simon fix. They're getting their Simon news now, and they couldn't get it before. So I just want to rest assured everyone out there, Simon will be on forever for the rest of time on the first and third Fridays of every month here on my show, and also on my television show as well. And I'll announce when that'll be aired. And as current world events dictate, as more time is needed too. I'm completely flexible, and if something comes up and needs to be talked about, we'll have you on additionally as well.
That's excellent. I'd be very happy to do that.
Wonderful, wonderful, Simon. Thank you so much. I wanted to ask you, by the way, North Korea has been quiet recently. We had that I don't know what it was exactly, that attack, that attempted attack on Honolulu here a couple of months ago. Have there been backdoor negotiations going on with the North Korean leader as well, so that that situation doesn't get out of hand?
To be honest, I think, although again, the truth is not being given, it's been sorted in a very positive way. I think the deal that's not been made public is that the North and South will be reunified. There'll be one country, and the leadership in the South will make up the government for all of the country.
Wow.
But the president of the North will be given a sort of a ceremonial or an honorific title, which means that he will be exempt from prosecution and will play a ceremonial role with no real power. So I think they've already come to the arrangement. There'll be reunification. What we don't know is the date. I don't foresee any further serious issues with that country anymore.
I have to tell you, I want to give some compliments to another friend of mine named Scott Mowry. He has something called Miracles and Inspirations. You can look him up, Google him, and I'm sure you can find him. He told me he came to my Galactic Wisdom Conference in March, and he told me essentially the same thing. And he just said, wait and see. So, and you're confirming it now. So that's good news for the world. That is really good news.
It is good, and I'm really pleased, because remember that, and I always get confused which half is half, but
right,
it was divided between the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. Rockefellers had one half and the Rothschilds controlled the other, and they have come to an arrangement, and because they've come to an arrangement, the reason they came to an arrangement was because the American military, President Trump, and Russia put such pressure, and China put such pressure on not just the country itself, but on these two great family dynasties, that reunification was the only option. So lots of things are going on in the background, and we just see the fallout, if you like, in the eye of the public. So it's very important. What they're trying to work out now, my understanding is it's what position American troops physically, geographically, how far into the North any American peacekeeping troops will be allowed.
Oh.
And that, I think, is the issue they're working on at the moment.
Interesting. Well, if we're going to have a breakout of peace, maybe, I hope this doesn't sound too out of this world, but perhaps there could be a joint U.S., Chinese, Russian troops for peacekeeping in the North. That's possible, isn't it? I mean,
it is possible. I think the problem is that the South is very distrustful, and to allay their fears, they wanted American troops at some certain point, and the North, of course, wants Chinese troops. So a lot of the protocols that are being drawn up now, because you can see the problem.
Sure.
If you've got Russian troops, I beg your pardon, if you've got Chinese troops facing American troops, there is the potential for conflict.
Right.
So it's about how you structure that, what safeguards you put in. So that's really taking all the time. But the deal's been done. From an economic point of view, first of all, the North couldn't have gone on much more.
Sure.
And from a political point of view, the North lost the backing of China and Russia.
And
that was the turning point when the Chinese and the Russians said to the leadership of the North, we no longer have our support.
Right.
And that was because the North had been playing around with long-range missiles.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Interesting. Could you imagine, Simon, for a minute, if you had a joint Russian, American, and Chinese military base of peacekeepers? The Chinese could prepare excellent Chinese food. The Russians could provide excellent vodka. I'm not sure what we could provide. But anyway,
apple pie.
So a typical meal at a joint Chinese Russian American military base could start with vodka, Russian vodka, and then the main meal would be Chinese food, excellent Chinese food, and then finish with some more vodka and apple pie for dessert.
You see, this is the difference between this show and the previous show that I was on, the JP Wolf Spirit radio show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The difference is that your international knowledge is so great that we can actually have a cuisine debate, and we can bring nations together. That's right. What's so wonderful about it, Ted.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Simon. Of course, I was completely serious about that because it makes you think, in a time of world peace, what would it be like to have a joint Chinese Russian American nut base? Now, if you added Canada to that too, they could provide maple syrup. Just an idea, and they have excellent beer in Canada too.
Oh, right.
So,
well, it's not so far from the truth because the United States and the Russian Navy secretively have gone on joint exercises.
Really.
Oh. Yes, so it's not a million miles from the possibility.
My goodness, all these things which we here in America have no idea what's happening. For those Russian sailors who have tried American beer, if they try Budweiser, there is a problem with Budweiser. I've heard before that they do use detergent in their beer. That gives them that frothy top. So I personally wouldn't. Yeah, you can get detergent in your system if you drink it.
Probably very good for cleaning dishes.
Oh, it's excellent. Excellent. Yeah, there's a lot of uses for it. Nothing against Budweiser. Excellent beer, but that's just...
Of course not. No, we recommend it, don't we?
It's just a joke, of course. I wanted to ask you a little bit about history, because this the kinds of things going on now, does that, with President Reagan and Gorbachev back at the collapse of the Soviet Union in the early 90s, were these same kind of backdoor communications going on then as well as an historical precedent? In a different way, but same issues of world tensions and
very different. Basically, the key here was that the Soviet Union, of course, as it was, was slowly but surely becoming bankrupt, and the tipping point, and President Reagan did speak some truth here. The tipping point was the huge Star Wars operation that Reagan sort of oversaw. It forced the Soviet Union to start investing in energy weapons. These were ground-based lasers working on refractive mirrors, and they were just miles and miles or acres and acres of these things. And it broke the bank. It literally broke the bank.
Amazing.
And so a huge deal, and I can't remember how much was done, but I do know, I do know somebody who had some oversight of this, but basically a check, for want of a better word, a bank transfer was done between some key players in the US and the Russian leadership. And I do not know how many trillions we're talking about, but I have been told within something like 15 minutes, this huge amount of money had left the US and had gone to about 11, 12, 13 different banks before going on. And the peace was bought. The Berlin Wall came down. Basically, the US paid for the peace. Huge amounts of money went off. Certain people went and lived their lives elsewhere. A lot of Russian oligarchs were created. But the end of communism was simply because they were paid for. And that's something that, again, the West has not been honest with its citizens. And these were some of the key people. And the reason for it, of course, was that Russia, the Soviet Union, was an emerging market.
Oh, interesting.
Hundreds of millions of people who have lived under communism, where the only way to get anything decent was through the black market.
Right.
Well, if you suddenly open that up to capitalism,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got everyone from McDonald's to Ford motor car mm-hmm. moving in, mm-hmm. this is a massive marketplace mm. that those corporations had never had access to. So although there was a huge outlay in dollars to basically buy off the Russian elite,
mm-hmm.
over the next 25 years, the corporations calculated that they would make that all back and more
mm-hmm.
because they have access to all the markets. Now, the American people, the British people, were never told this. Nobody said we were told that capitalism had succeeded and communism had failed
mm-hmm.
and the masses had thrown off the elite. That's all nonsense. What happened was that it was a completely orchestrated and done deal. The only place where there was problems, I think, was in Romania,
mm-hmm.
where the leader, a guy called Ceausescu,
mm-hmm.
Was hanging on to power because there was an underground military base under the mountains,
mm-hmm.
and the Americans were trying to secure the rights to the control of this underground base. And Ceausescu was the last, I think, one of the last Russian country leaders to, and you think he was shot in the end, but there was a big number of gun battles because he was refusing to give ground. But it was a complete orchestrated operation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the truth about that.
That's fascinating. I'm almost hesitant to ask you this question, but I will. What else is going on behind the scenes that we hear around the world people don't know about?
Oh, Ted.
In 25 words or less.
I can't. All I can tell you is that in terms of truth, mm-hmm. it's absolutely terrible to say that probably only 10%
mm-hmm.
of the truth is being given out.
Sure.
All the rest is distraction.
Sure.
And lies, and you know, what's the favorite ice cream today?
Sure.
Or let's look at these ridiculous videos of this, that, and the other. It's
right.
just distraction techniques.
Right.
The real truth is not being given, but maybe the real truth comes out a year, two, 3 years later, by
sure.
which time it's lost its impact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid to say that that the elite of many countries do not trust their citizens. They don't trust the people to have the truth. They say we can't give these people the truth
mm-hmm.
because they won't know what to do with it.
Mm.
And that's a shame, because the citizens elect their leadership expecting the leadership to, you know, play fair with them.
Sure. What was the line in that famous movie, "You Can't Handle the Truth," by, was it Jack Nicholson? Can't remember now.
Uh-huh.
One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
But I think the people of this world are not stupid, and they can handle the truth, and the more truth the better. And this is a time of truth, where I've been told by many psychics that that things that are false will become evident as false, and then they'll fall by the wayside, and things that are true will become self-evident as being true. So this is a really exciting time to be alive. I think it's a wonderful time to be alive. Sure, we have challenges, and I also think we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us as well. So, you have such wonderful insights. I was going to ask you, you had a post on your website, Planned Action on the Old U.S. Administration. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Of course, there's been nothing in our media about it, but...
The option... President Trump has a number of options available to him.
Mm-hmm.
The law, I'm sure many of your listeners will know, and maybe some don't.
Mm-hmm.
But earlier in the year, Trump did some executive orders which almost totally rewrote some of the statute legislation. It's now legal, it's possible to indict former senior government ministers in America. So
really?
Those are very high up. Whereas previously they were exempt, and that's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't really understood. They were exempt from prosecution, but they're not now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's particularly been written so that it definitely says that anybody who's ex-member of the United States government can now be prosecuted. So mm-hmm. I think that this is being held as a threat against certain previous leaderships of the US to say, mm-hmm. if you continue to hold back the developments that I want, then I will enact this legislation. Now, I did actually say in my website that we now understand why President Trump cleared out the Edgar Hoover building, because he intended to use the FBI as the weapon of choice, not the CIA or the NSA, the FBI. So he really wanted to make a change in that. Now he's got the control of the FBI, mm-hmm. by and large. Mm-hmm. It would be the FBI that would go out and arrest, you know, people like Clinton, mm-hmm. ex-President Clinton, people like ex-President Obama. Mm-hmm. You know, the legislation is there now, which wow. allows that to happen. So wow. maybe what Trump is doing is saying, if you continue to get in my way, I'll enact this. But if you don't, then I'll leave these documents still sealed, mm-hmm. On my desk.
Wow.
And I think that's the weapon he's using. And I think one of the key ways is, you know, stop trying to kill me. You know, we've had five or six attempts to kill President Trump since he came into office.
I've heard that from other sources. Yes, I have heard that. And I haven't seen any stories on them on the Cartoon Channel here in the United States. So
the only one we had was the guy who was caught in the lawns of the White House.
Oh, that's right.
That,
yeah.
That did make it through to your news,
right.
But the Secret Service was not clear whether he was trying to break in or was trying to break out when right. they got him. But that was one incident that leaked itself out to mainstream news, who then ran with that, mm-hmm. but they didn't give the full background to it. But that was one point, and there's been several that never been reported to the press.
Interesting. Wow, it's amazing. What you're saying today is really out of this world, Simon. Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Back on your website, back a few weeks ago, you had a post about a possible California earthquake.
Yes.
I have friends in California. I went to school in California at UC Berkeley. And I was going to ask, do you still see that possibly happening? And
I think I gave a warning right up to June.
Okay.
I think I said, if I can't remember exactly now, but I think my posts were mm-hmm. that we've got to be on your alert between now and June.
Okay.
It's not about doom and gloom. It's just about being sensible
right.
and just taking precautions and
sure.
just being aware. You guys, neck of the woods, as we say in Great Britain, you had the small shocks. And,
right.
you know, there is a potential for quite a heavy aftershock.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get through to the mid of June and there isn't one, then I think we're going to be okay for the rest of the year. But I wanted people to just have it in the back of their head that there was the possibility of some disruption coming their way anytime between now and June,
Well, thank you for sharing that, Simon. And I, with that in mind, I want to ask everyone listening today around the world to please send lots of love and light to California, so that they don't have an earthquake. I don't want to see anyone hurt there, of course, and it would be awful to have an earthquake there. And so, if you could send please lots of love and light to California, that would be that'd be wonderful. Do you see anything else happening this year in terms of hurricanes or any kind of weather related? Events coming up we should be able to know about.
I think we would be very wise to check the skies regularly, because I expect to see quite a reduction in chemtrails as we go into the fall. We've had these chemtrails peaking and then dropping off and then coming back again.
Mm-hmm.
For many, many years, we've been absolutely hammered with them. And then
right.
starting in 2017, the in different parts of the world, they almost completely stopped, whereas in other parts of the world, they were still there. It's very variable now, and I think that one of the major changes we're going to see is a reduction in chemtrailing across the planet. This is reflecting the change in control that's happening at the elite level.
That is such good news. You know, yesterday I was with some friends in Olympia, Washington, and we were looking up at the sky. And the sky itself, when I was, when I was growing up in Olympia back many years ago, the sky was this beautiful deep blue. And I always thought that's my favorite color because deep blue is a beautiful color. But now we looked up in the sky yesterday, and it was a sunny day, Simon, but it was this weird-looking kind of a silver-whitish color. It wasn't blue at all. And we could see the chemtrails crisscrossing across the sky. And I remarked to somebody, my friends I was with, I said, you know, when I was growing up, the sky looked completely different. Today it's cloudy, so you can't see the sky very well. But it's a different kind of sky now, thanks to all the chemtrailing.
I'm still very, very avid fossil collector. Mm-hmm. But in the 1970s, mm-hmm. I lived in part of Britain that has a county called Sussex. Mm-hmm. And I used to go regularly to the quarries to I think you guys call it rock hounding. I think that's
right,
the word.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm.
We don't call it that. We call it fossil collecting. We're very, very prim and proper here. but I remember regularly collecting fossils, looking up from these quarries. Uh-huh. The sky was a beautiful blue, and the only trails you got in the sky were vapor trails. Mm-hmm. From aircraft, which is obviously the water vapor. And the difference was with the vapor trail, it was very thin, mm-hmm. and it dissipated very quickly.
Sure.
And I know it's the 1980s. Mm-hmm. That's when I noticed the difference occurring was in the 1980s, mm-hmm. late 80s in Britain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those generation who remember, we can, but kids born in the last 10, 20 years,
right.
they don't know any different. And this is the danger, because people who grow up with it, right. they just accept it. Now, it's our generation that can say, that's not the color of the sky.
That's
it
true.
Shouldn't be like that.
That's true.
And it's really important that we pass this message on to the next generation to say, don't accept what you're being given, because that is not the historic value of this planet. That's why these radio shows are so important, because you're reaching a new generation, mm-hmm. and you're saying that the information that the citizenry is being given is not always the truth.
Well, I have to tell you, Simon, these studies are in my book, Messages from the Masters, but in the back of the book, I've included scientific studies which were done by the University of Wisconsin on air, water, and air, water, and fish samples from Moses Lake, Washington, where I was living at the time. And there were U.S. Navy planes dumping tons of aluminum, barium, and strontium, and sulfur on us back then. And I've since moved from there, and I don't know what the situation is like. But back then, 4 years ago, the air had up to 10,000 times more aluminum than should have been in the air. The fish had all this strontium, barium, and aluminum in the fish. So when you were eating the fish out of this lake, you were eating aluminum particles that, of course, went in your body, and that's one of the main reasons for Alzheimer's. The place was basically getting poisoned by the United States Navy as part of their chemtrails program. This is all secret. There was another company there at the airport in Moses Lake, a Japanese company that provided the materials to spray in the area, but it was like people were getting sick. I ended up getting heavy metals in my body, and even today I have a potassium deficiency from that, because I've got heavy metals in me from living there for a couple of years. But I don't know what it's like now. I know around the Seattle area we still see the planes flying, but hopefully that'll stop soon. People here recognize it. And again, you're not going to see this on the major media. None of the major newspapers cover chemtrails here in the Seattle area, or in Portland, or in Vancouver, Canada, or in San Francisco. But they're there, and people see it. They're not, you know, the people know what's going on. We're not stupid. We can see what's going on. And we also know there's a cover-up as well.
I think the thing was that in a number of areas, and the places you've just mentioned, mm-hmm. these were over and above than normal chemtrailing. These were experimental areas where they were testing to see in a tight geographical area what the effect on the people would be when they did this. It's the most diabolical. It's the sort of thing that you'd see in an old horror film, the Frankenstein films. You know, if we do this, what do we get? And it's to most decent people, it's inconceivable why any organization or individuals would wish to do that just to see what the result is. And that's when somebody thinks they become God, when a person believes that they've become God and undertake experiments on the human race, no volunteers, just doing it, you suddenly realize that the countries that you live in aren't actually as open and as fair as perhaps the brochure says.
Well, that's very true, and I want to share something very interesting with you, Simon. I'll never forget the day. It was about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, in January 2017. And I was talking to William Tompkins. He was a famous engineer. He was with the Secret Space Program. He helped design some of the spacecraft that the U.S. Navy uses in their secret program, as well as some of the bases, the secret program on the dark side of the moon. And he told me, he said, Ted, do you know about chemtrails? And I said, yes, I've experienced them. I really don't like them. He told me, did you know that some of the planes dumping the chemtrails in the United States are not human? They're reptilian craft dumping these chemicals. And I said, no, I didn't know that, but it makes sense. And then he was due to come on my radio show back then. He canceled on me 10 minutes before he was going to go on air. And then I think about 2 or 3 weeks later, he died under mysterious circumstances. So he was no longer available to give any comments on anything. But I hope they stop soon. I know that when was it? It was October 2016. I was driving past Mount Shasta early one morning. And you should have seen the sky above Mount Shasta, Northern California, Simon. The place was completely crisscrossed by all kinds of chemtrails, and it made this weird kind of a reddish, orangish, yellow, almost purple color in the morning sunlight as the sun started rising. And there's been so many chemtrails in that area. I don't know if they've stopped now, but there's been so much aluminum dumped in the area that many trees now are dying. And these are environmentally protected areas by the Forest Service and by the parks down there. And nothing, I hope they stop soon. That's all I want to say about that. So
it's very difficult for people who are very new to the topic or new to the subject to grasp the full magnitude of this, but it is possible for off-planet vehicles, space vehicles, to appear to look like ordinary terrestrial vehicles. In other words, it is possible they have the technology for something that is clearly not human to look like a regular airplane.
Interesting.
They have that capability. And what they've been doing, part of the program, I've said this several times, that chemtrailing is not just about one topic. There are several reasons for chemtrailing, and one of them was to attempt to, and I think you've mentioned this as well, Ted, to try to turn some parts of a geographical area into an environment that's more habitable for something that is not human.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. That's absolutely one aspect there.
Right.
Chemtrailing is, there's many things to it, but this is what I meant by they're experimenting. So even in one state of the US, they will actually be chemtrailing, but different things in different chemtrails, and they're trying different things. I remember having a conversation many years ago with an ex-member, well, he was supposed to be an ex-member of the CIA. Mm-hmm. It turned out he was still an active asset.
I see.
And he'd phoned me at home here in Great Britain. He made the contact with me, and he was talking away and chatting away to
Simon. Simon, I'm so sorry, my friend, to stop you there, but We've got just a few seconds before my hour ends. Can I hold you over for the next hour, if you don't mind? I've got to make some announcements, but I'd love to have you back more next hour.
I can do another half an hour.
Okay, that's wonderful, Simon.
I'll do half an hour.
Okay, please hold on, my friend, and then we'll have you back on. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from Seattle. We have Simon Parks on the air, and please stay tuned for our next hour.